104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Monday to everybody. Hope you all had a good weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. First weekend with Phoebe for 2.5 months.
Yeah, look out.
So that was pretty cool. Great to see her. Great to hear all of her stories. And again, can't get into a lot of details because she hasn't given me the go-ahead. She's a very private person, but she had quite an adventure. And it was really difficult what she did, but really cool. And she's like a different person.
Aw, that's awesome.
Reminds me a lot of when I came back from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I hadn't grown up even a little bit. And she had. She's pretty grown up. She's very, she's just awesome. But she had a lot of challenges this summer and met all of them and really succeeded, and we couldn't be more proud of her.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, Phoebe was already like very confident and like self-possessed and just came off so great. So I can only imagine like how she is now. I mean.
Yeah. No, Phoebe, Nick is a lot like me, but twice as sweet. And Phoebe is a lot like me, but twice as tough and capable. And it's really true. Like, that's not being self-deprecating. Like, Wheels, you get it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's you do your best, you fail, and then you realize, oh, I somehow, along with my partner, raised two really great kids, which is a wonderful feeling. Everyone out there who has kids, you get it. No one's perfect. You're not perfect. They're not perfect. But when they're good human beings, you're like, okay.
Yep.
That's awesome.
I'm even with the house. You know, I got this. So, yeah. So that was nice. And then just some relaxing me and my wound, you know.
Open wound.
Did you name it yet?
No. No.
It's looking a lot better today than it did on Friday.
Yeah. I 2 minutes ago, Rach was using Scotch tape to hold my bandage on. And the only reason I'm wearing a bandage at all is because of my headphones.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much bandage free other than sleeping because I don't want to screw something up, you know,
right,
in the middle of the night and not know it. But I go back to the to Dr. Knoyer tomorrow morning, and I think he's going to release me from, you know, anything, and it'll be cool. So
nice.
It's just in an awkward place, so it's
you
hard
think?
To... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely... It's where the jaw moves, so your face muscles move, and that's going to loosen any bandaging there.
Yeah.
And so, it's right where your headphones sit.
Yes.
So in another profession, you'd be totally fine.
Yeah, it's not ideal. It's not.
Unless you were a DJ.
None of it was ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting shots under my ear. I know. I was just talking to Maria Kina. I didn't see her most of last week, and we're pals, and we're just talking about it. And that place, like if you just take your finger and put it right under your earlobe, it's the spot, at least on me, where if I eat sour candy, it goes...
Oh, yeah. You get that little tangy, weird thing.
And most of you didn't do this, but weirdos like me and South Roxana, when we would wrestle and stuff, that was a move, was to put your finger there and push real hard, and it hurts real bad. So that's always been like, don't touch me there. Some people are weird about their belly button. I'm weird about that spot. And so, of course, I get 4 shots in it. So it's the way it goes.
Yeah. Seems not great.
Hopefully it will all be over soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I sent a pic to, it's so funny. Knoyer texted me Friday and he's like, hey, how you feeling? Send me a pic as soon as you can. And I told Wheels, I'm like, it took everything I had not to send him the other kind of pic.
You asked for it.
You just don't get setups like that.
No.
When you're a comedian that many times in life.
But. Yeah.
He thought it was looking okay. So I went by Schnucks today to get a couple prescriptions and some Eckert's peaches for my best friends at work.
Mm. Yummy.
Yum.
And guess what else they had? Halloween candies out.
Come on.
Halloween
it's been
candy?
Out for, no, it's been out, it's been out for out. Weeks.
Who is getting candy?
No. I don't know.
Candy you get like the morning of.
Yeah, it's been out. This stuff's been out there for 2 weeks easy.
It's not even the middle of August.
They must have research that shows that it helps. I don't get it because it just pisses me off.
Yeah, you know,
what are we doing?
I went to Target this at some point, and they had a bunch of Halloween decorations out when you first walk in. And of course,
it's
I looked
too early.
Them.
When do you guys even start thinking about it? When do you, like, when does Halloween even hit your radar? Because to me, it's not till we get to October.
Yeah, when it's cold, when it feels a little chilly.
When it's 96, I'm not thinking about Halloween.
I'll give them mid-September.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you guys know how much I love the fall, and Halloween's a big part of it. But, like, Halloween proper, with, like, Halloween lights or Halloween decorations, yeah, maybe the first 10 days in October.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it goes. That's the way she is.
Put that stuff out there, man. Never enough.
So when I was, I'm just going to give all you guys this idea, because it really didn't matter if you steal it from me. But when Phoebe was a kid, we would take her and her friends every holiday season. We would get like a limo bus. I was doing live endorsements for Best Transportation, and they would hook me up. And we would get her and about a dozen of her little friends and the parents. And we would go out, and we would go to a lot of places that have like beautiful lights.
Oh, okay.
And we would go down to Main Street, St. Charles, where they have all the characters, and we would get pizza. And it was just, it's one of our best memories. And I was thinking how cool it would be. We could even do this, to do a haunted bus tour. Where, like, maybe you get a limo bus and no one has to drive, obviously, and you can have your fun, but maybe go, like, to the Limp Mansion and then go to, like, a famous cemetery. And does that sound fun? Probably not to you, Wheels, but.
Oh, it sounds fun. I like that stuff.
Do you?
Well, I mean, I like watching other people scared.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds like a good time.
Think of the opportunities you have to jump out from behind bushes.
I'll take that. Well, you know, probably have to get permission slips to do that. I don't need anybody having a cardiac event.
I thought that'd be a lot of fun.
I like that stuff.
You can make the bus spooky.
Yeah. Spooky lights.
Mm-hmm.
Call it the spooky bus.
For a bachelor.
Have to work done right there.
Yeah. Spooky bus by Dave Glover.
Go ahead, Rage.
For a bachelorette party once we did so they have something in Grafton called the Witches on the Water.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And like everybody dresses up like a witch and bar hops. But they had a bus shuttle to take you from one end of town to the other, and it's like a school bus. And everybody's drunk, obviously, and I'm just like on the bus. I didn't dress like a witch. I just can't do that kind of stuff.
I was very proud of you for wearing a purple wig at Mardi Gras.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, because you know me. I'm not like the, here's my chance. Like, I'm just not
like,
that person.
Hey, everyone, look at me.
I actually hate
to show
it. Because I had to, for Mardi Gras, I'm wearing that purple wig, and I had to stop and get gas. And I was like, I feel like such a fool. But no, everyone's just like having a great time on this bus. And the whole time I'm on it, I'm just thinking, if we got in a crash, so many people would be flying out the window. Like, I just have a hard time suspending, like, my anxiety for, like, a fun time like that.
That's funny. Yeah.
But that being said, they were playing, like, Monster Mash and stuff, and it was...
Yeah.
It was nice.
I was thinking over the weekend, I have a couple friends who have essential tremors. Like, you've seen that, heard of it.
Yeah.
And I was talking to one of them, and I said, I don't mean this to be offensive, but I feel like I have essential tremors of the brain. Like my flavor of anxiety that I have, that's what it feels like. Like people with essential tremors, as I understand it, have difficulty controlling their bodies and they just sort of move whether they want them to or not. And that's how I feel inside. Does that make any sense? Where it's just like, I wish I wasn't doing this. I wish I wasn't thinking about this. I wish I wasn't ruminating about this, but it just keeps going.
Yeah. I understand. But ironically, the best thing to do is to just accept how you feel instead of fight it.
I agree.
It's the quickest way out.
So I came up with a question for you guys Friday night at 3 a.m. and I had that battle where I'm like, this is a really good idea for the show. But now I have to lean over, stop sleeping, get my phone, put it in my notes, and try to get back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't. And then like 20 minutes later, I'm like, I have to put this back in the phone. So now that I've given the big buildup, it's going to sound so stupid. But I typically, since childhood, sleep under the covers. I'm not super comfortable with like my feet being out. And so I woke up and my feet were out. And I'm like, oh, I got to remedy that.
Dave's like, my feetsies are out.
But for you guys, whether it's your feet or what have you, like, I call it the toe eater. What are you afraid of? What does your toe eater look like? Some sort of a ghosty demon guy who, if your legs or your feet are showing, they're going to get you.
I guess I'm sorry. I hate to throw cold water on it. I don't think I have that.
Oh, you're so lucky.
I would say it's like it's undefinable, right? That's why it's scary. If it was definable, I'd be like, oh, hey, Jeff, what's up? You know what I mean? Like,
that's how I got over.
Jeff wants to eat your toes?
That's how I've gotten over my fear of so many things. I just like picture like, well, what if I did see? What if I go out to my kitchen and the Babadook is in there? He's gonna look like an idiot in my kitchen, and I'm not gonna be scared anymore.
Yeah, especially if he's like eating your leftovers.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing haunting me? Like, go. Really? You don't have anything else better to do?
This is what you're doing with your time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rachel's plan is to mean girls the demon until it disappears back to hell.
You're here.
Since nobody asked me, mine looks like Dobby from Harry Potter.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Did you see the Dobby story?
No.
There's a Dobby story on the rundown today.
Is he chewing toes?
No, but there's a Dobby story because Harry Potter fans
threw
a big fit, so they stopped some kind of energy project development because the land where his fictional burial was filmed in Harry Potter is there, and they wanted to protect this.
Yeah. That's a reach.
You need to grow up.
That's a reach.
Like, you got to grow up. Like, and the fact that it actually seems to have worked is insane.
So what are they trying to do that they're stopping?
They're trying
them from?
To protect the location where the movie makers filmed Dobby's burial.
But what do they want to do there?
I guess have a permanent Dobby memorial.
Oh, that's
for a fictional character.
Really weird.
From a movie scene.
Yeah.
Like, what? People are grown who want to do that. Like, if you're a grown person and you want that, I think there's something wrong with you. This fictional character from a magical world had a fake ass burial in a movie. And like, we need to protect this spot in real life.
I know in like the 50s through the 70s, we didn't have what we have today.
Yeah.
We didn't have as many things to dork out over.
Right.
Right. Whether it's Marvel or Odyssey or Pokemon or what have you.
Star Wars.
But
guilty.
Do you think people still did?
Oh, yeah.
You think there are people like in 1958 who's like, oh, we need to.
Actually, no. I think this is a special kind of brain rot that could only come about because of the internet.
Yeah.
Like the most mentally ill people have found each other on the internet and they're like, if Dobby's grave is desecrated, then I have nothing left to live for.
Yeah. Specifically like online communities, starting with like forum message boards, moving on to social media, Reddit, that sort of thing. That is it is. I do not think in 1950 anybody was like, I'm completely obsessed with I Dream of Jeannie or whatever it
and
was
if they
in 1950.
Were, people would be
if
like,
I didn't
you
talk
have,
about
yeah,
it.
You got to calm down. We're not doing this right now.
You're
like
right.
People would just tell them to be quiet.
Yeah,
I think that's the difference. Right. I think that's the difference because people definitely were just as obsessed with whatever they were obsessed with, but they didn't have an outlet for it. They had no way to communicate with each other across the globe, and nobody listened to them. Everybody was just like, hey, listen. You go collect your bottle caps. We're not changing the world because of your bottle caps.
Well, I think my example's perfect. The one about Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was 12, saw Star Wars at the Wildy, driving away in the car, and I said to no one, oh, man, I hope I live long enough to see that happen. And my dad goes, well, you can wish in one hand and crap in the other and see which fills up first. And I was 12.
Yeah.
A 12-year-old, you go, well, buddy, who knows? You might have a lightsaber. Not Jack. Jack was letting me
real
know.
Real world, baby.
There's no magic coming your way.
Real world.
That's funny. Now, I agree with you guys in general, but on this Dobby thing, I'm in support. Because if we do desecrate his fictional grave,
he's going to come eat your toes.
He's going to come get your toes. Because then he's got no place to rest.
That's right.
So now zombie Dobby is going to be.
It's an unnecessary rattling of his tiny toes.
Yeah, right now he's sealed. He's sealed away.
Right, right.
He's in hell. He can't get you.
Yes.
But who knows what could happen if they.
You get zombie. Geez, why is that hard to say? Zombie Dobby. So hard to say, but he's going to be at Shea Glover here soon.
I don't like it.
Zombie Dobby.
If they dig him up, fictionally dig up his fictional body.
Welcome back, DJS. Happy Monday. Today's National Lazy Day.
All right.
Yeah. What you will with that.
Probably better if that winds up on a weekend.
Yeah, why'd they do it on a Monday?
Yeah, true. It's a good point. Speaking of lazy weeks, we have a weird one this week. We have day games on Wednesday and Friday. So chances are we're not on Wednesday and Friday, but you can enjoy the Cardinals. And then Monday, I think you guys are off. Steve may want me to come in and do a little joint thing with one of the sports guys because it's a weird day. We have like a 12:40 game. Yep. And then we have a second game, so it's
there's maybe some between time, but it just depends on how long the first game is.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a separate. It's not like just rolling one game into the other. It's a day-night doubleheader.
Yes.
Which means separate pre- and post-game show for both. So if there is something, it's probably really short.
Well, that's what Steve said. He goes, well, chances are Matt Pauly will be doing the post-game for the first game and maybe the pre-game for the next game.
Right.
But he might want you to come in for 45 minutes, and I'm like, look, I love Matt. My guess is Matt doesn't want me to come in for the 45 minutes.
I think he would prefer that to being there by himself.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I think he likes you, Dave.
Okay. I just didn't want to be like, you know, harshing his mellow where I'm like, remember that time? What if everyone played with the catcher's mitt? What about that? Have you ever heard a voice or a presence? A new study says that about 20% of people have felt blah, 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 something paranormal. But here's my point. Scientists who've studied this say that about half the people in the world have some paranormal event. And for 80% of them, it ends positively. That they feel more connected to existence, or maybe that was my mom, or, you know, I see a cardinal. That's what my dad said he'd come back as. How's that hit you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if, like, the seeing a cardinal thing, I wouldn't have classified that as paranormal, but I guess it makes sense. If you're taking that as a sign from a deceased loved one. So, I mean, of course that's going to have a positive feeling for you.
Unless it's Dobby.
Yeah, if it's Dobby, then he's toes, like, man. What did you do to my grave?
Cardinals always remind me of my deceased hated ones. No, I like the cardinal thing. I tend to go with the cardinal thing. I had a paranormal experience last night, and it did not make me feel more connected.
Hey, let's hear it.
It wasn't, I hesitate to call it paranormal. That's why it like wasn't on the show sheet or anything, but I heard whispering all last night while I was in my room in bed. It was free. It was like indistinct whispering, but it had me freaked out until I fell asleep.
And Megan was accounted for.
Yeah, she was there.
Okay.
She was, what do you think it was?
I have no idea. I mean, I think it's just nothing. You know, like, you know, the fan bouncing around, you know, the corners of the room and playing tricks or whatever.
I'm sorry, was it wide awake or like half asleep kind of feel?
Pretty awake. I mean, it wasn't long before I was asleep.
Because you could have been like dozing and dreaming it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I was dreaming it, but eventually I was like, well, I guess I'm not that. Because it's one of those things where it's like, am I concerned enough about this to, like, you know, get up and go out into the living room?
Get ready to confront the entity.
Yeah, the voices are like, I swear to God, I'm going to kill you. And he's like, I'm not that concerned.
I'm not getting out of bed for this. If you're going to kill me, come in here and do it.
I'm just going to lay in bed and be like, speak up!
The voice is like, his tax documents are in the hammock. Everything's in the hammock. The hammock, yes. Just trust me, the hammock.
By the way,
cat won't go there.
Speaking of my wife and last night, so we have a not big house. Our house is very small. You walk in, there's the living room. Both of the bedrooms are off of the living room, and ours and the cat's. And my wife was like, all right, I'm going to sleep. She goes into our room, closes the door. I can see the door. If there wasn't like a wall there, I could like toss a can and get it right to her. She's not far away. So the cats are like coughing and like doing kind of a weird thing. And I was like, I called her because she had just gone in the room. I was like, hey, can you come out here and, you know, just make sure that the cat's fine. And she's like, I don't know. It's fine. I'm not going to. And I was like, come on, dude, come look at the cat. And she says, all right, I'm on my way. I just thought that was very funny. Because, like, she was like, I'm on my way. And then a half a second later, the door opened and she was looking at the cat. I told her at the time, I was like, saying I'm on my way. It's very funny.
We are
like 2 feet away.
We are so late for a break.
Yeah.
But you had me with, I could throw a can in there. What a strange object.
Why are you throwing cans, bro?
To pick.
She's like 4 feet away when I'm sitting in my recliner. She's like, you know. She's like literally
close enough to throw a mitted puppet in there. So
I also love the implication. He's like implying that she's being like unreasonable and lazy by not wanting to get up.
Come look at the cat.
But he's laying in his recline. Like you could have gotten up and like opened to the door yourself and been like, hey, just poke your head around.
And what did you say the cat was doing?
Like coughing, like doing like a little thing.
Yeah. Okay.
And I wanted to make sure the cat was fine. And she's a veterinary professional. So I was like, come take a look at this.
Okay. We got today. We have Bernie Miklas coming up. Art Holliday, good friend of the show, is on with one of his partners talking about this project they've been doing for years and years now about Johnny Johnson. Always great to check in with Art. Good Sweet 16 today. If Skip doesn't like it, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to quit and we go sell cars for Bomarito. So how about that? The Sweet 16 of best sauces and condiments.
Mm.
And Andrew, give the folks out there in Radio Land a picture of just how hard you and I work even on a Sunday.
We were going back and forth for a few hours, about like, okay, do we want to include like seasonings and spices and kind of make it an all-encompassing thing? And then we thought, well, no, seasonings and spicings could probably be their own in the future.
This crab doesn't just happen.
And then also there was the question of condiments versus sauces. So like, do we do condiments today, sauces in the future? And what we eventually landed on is that it would be too hard to define what is a condiment versus what is a sauce.
Aren't all condiments sauces?
Well, that's...
See?
Well, not all sauces are condiments, but I think all condiments are sauces.
We leave you out of these discussions.
Because it's too complicating, I know.
Just...
I'm sorry.
Count yourself lucky.
I'm sorry.
Too many cooks in the kitchen literally talking about condiments.
Too deep
sauces.
A thought for this topic.
But that is essentially like where we kind of landed.
For example, cocktail sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Sauce is in the name.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's more of a condiment.
Yeah.
So we just said, let's just blow it out, and we'll do them both.
Yeah. Cool.
So...
Nice.
So that'll be fun.
And I think that's the right decision.
I have a couple of parenting issues / stories. The first one is, it was a really interesting article. They're kind of blaming this on modern day younger therapists. I'm not sure if that's fair or not. But this article was saying that there's a new wave in therapy. That when people have issues with their parents, and who doesn't, to be much quicker to cut them off and to cut them out of your life. You don't owe them being in their life. And certainly there are issues and then there are issues. There's abuse and alcoholism and all sorts of things that are very toxic. Then there's just you didn't quite get along and maybe it was partially your fault. So my upbringing, and I keep flirting with this, was bad enough. I probably could have cut my parents off, but I made a very specific decision not to. And to not just not cut them off, but be there for them always. And in their old age, right up until the time they both died. Part of that was for them, and a lot of it was for me. I made that choice for me. I'd rather do this than do that. But, you know, when I was growing up, that wasn't even like a thing. But today, it seems that people are choosing that more and more, and a lot of therapists are suggesting that. Like, hey, don't be afraid just to cut them out of your life. What do you guys think? How's it hit you?
I mean, I think it's undoubtable that therapists do that more I think more people are getting therapy now than they ever have.
Good point.
I say, yeah, that's a pretty good observation.
So, and your I think sometimes we live under this delusion that therapists always know what's best and are always going to know the right thing. They don't. They're humans just like us. And sometimes they're going to maybe bring their own thing into the equation. They're going to maybe give advice because they don't fully understand your situation. Maybe you haven't been fully upfront with what's going on. They're only getting information from you.
Yep.
And from what I understand, your therapist's job is to protect you. It's not really to work things out with the rest of your family unless you're doing family therapy. So it's not surprising to me that it is an option for a lot of people of like, just get rid of them. If it's toxic and you don't like it, you can walk away. And that is true. But I think sometimes people are making that decision to walk away fully without fully weighing it out. Or because they're getting that professional validation or validation from their friends, they're like, oh, it's fine. And then maybe they'll regret it later. But yeah, you can do whatever you want with your life, right?
Yes.
But I think sometimes we are a little too quick to be like, it's all about you. You never have to make a sacrifice. If you don't want to be uncomfortable, you don't have to be uncomfortable. That is kind of a relatively new thing in our culture.
Yeah.
And while that is true, you're going to sacrifice things in the pursuit of never being uncomfortable. And some of that is your only family connection.
Yeah. And like I said, there's uncomfortable and there's uncomfortable. But one thing I have found in life in general, not just parents, is if you have a close, true, meaningful relationship with someone, whether it's me and Andrew, me and my mom, me and Phoebe, it's going to be uncomfortable at times. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
Life is super messy. People are messy.
How much do you think of this phenomenon growing is politics?
Because
I feel like it's a lot of it. Well, I mean, just because it's everything now.
Like, if you don't agree with your parents' politics, if you're a liberal, and your parents are conservatives.
And everybody is so immersed in politics now compared to 30 years ago, whatever. I wonder if that is one of those reasons why it's increasing. Because while we were talking about this, I looked this up. There are some psychologists that are suggesting like a third of American adults are estranged from their parents.
That's insane.
A third.
38% was the number that they used.
Damn.
Now, I don't know if that's official, but it's from a YouGov survey in 2025. So it's that they're estranged from at least one family member. So siblings, children, grandparents, parents, whatever. So it's not just parents and adult, but it's all of those things. Because there are absolutely reasons why you should cut people off, right? I mean, we can all think of the reasons. But if it's just because you annoy each other or you disagree on politics or whatever, you can work on that.
Well, and there's also a difference between, hey, I don't give you everything you want just because you want. I'm not living my life according to your terms.
Right.
There's a difference between that and I have no contact with my family. We never speak. Christmas goes by and we don't even send each other a text message. Like that is crazy. Mm-hmm. That should be like your last resort. You have no other choice for like your safety. But I think people are just much more, I think we're more empowered to make the choice to cut off anything that makes us uncomfortable. And that's somewhat a good thing. But I also think, like many things, it can get out of hand. And then it's like, we're all just about, hey, honey, no, you do what makes you feel good. Well, I've learned in my life that what makes me feel good isn't always what's best for me in the long term.
Yep.
I made a lot of choices when I was younger to feel good that I wish I would have went in a different way because that good feeling didn't last.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hate to see people like permanently cutting ties with blood or with adopted family, whatever it is going on.
Yeah.
Permanently cutting ties because, hey, everybody says it's okay. I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
Well, technically you don't have to, but long term, might regret that.
I don't disagree. I have a section of my family that I have completely separate. Not my immediate family. I absolutely love my immediate family. I talked to my brother for 2 hours on the phone last night. I had dinner with my father. I love them very much. But some members of the extended family I have completely separated for. And it was a very difficult decision. It took many, many years of coming to peace with me. It was not like... And a lot of the people that I tell about this have not been terribly supportive about it. They have not been like, oh, no, 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 you should do... And I appreciate that pushback. I appreciate the pushback that's like, you know, are you sure that you're making the right decision by doing something like this?
Well, then, Andrew, it... If any of these people were to come to you and be like, hey, I want to make things right, let's have a conversation, would you be open to a conversation?
I'd be open to it. I probably wouldn't be interested in letting them back in, but I'd be more than happy to hear them out, and I'd be more than happy to, you know, I think what I would say is, like, I accept your apology fully, and I forgive you fully, but I'm still not terribly interested in having that relationship with you, but that can still be in a more... That can still be in a healthier place.
Yeah.
And also, for all I know, that's not how I would feel. For all I know, they'd come to me and we'd talk it out and I'd feel much better about it and I'd be willing to let them back in. You know what I mean? You don't actually know how you're going to feel about these things until they happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think there's a difference between anything that goes beyond parent, child, brother, sister. Like, I think that is different than cousins, even grandparents, because there's a separation. That's a different layer outside that core.
Yeah.
It's when it's inside that circle where I think it's gotten a little bit too quick to go that route. But again, there are cases where it's okay. But don't you guys read, like, every person has had to set some kind of boundary with their parents?
Of course.
Of course.
I think that's just
it's part
normal.
Of growing up.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
just growing
life.
Up.
Yeah. And then your kids are going to do it to you. And that's normal. That we don't need to be avoiding. That's okay.
Do you think the lines are getting blurred? Like, the lines are getting blurred between I need to set a boundary with my parents as I get older, as everyone does, versus, like, I don't know really even what a boundary is in my life, and therefore I'm cutting them off entirely and I'm separating myself from them fully.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's right where we are. We're blurred.
Mm. You wanna be in the show?
Welcome back, guys. DGS and Camo X. So I said I had two parenting things for you. The second one is I read with great interest an article over the weekend about platonic parenting, that more and more people of childbearing years, not people like me, people like Rach and you know, Nick's age, that they fear the committed romantic relationship. They just feel like everyone gets divorced, so why even go down that road? But they want a child, and they like this person. Wheels, you're a good buddy of mine. I think we'd be great parents together, like Patrick and SpongeBob. And so they have children together. I mean, a lot of people have children without getting married. You know, that's been a thing for ever. But this is like, we have no intention of sharing a bed, having sex, being a couple. I like you, you like me, you're solid, I'm solid, let's have a baby.
I guess whatever works for you, right? If everybody involved is happy with the arrangement. But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think it's an interesting question, right? Because the older way is the norm because it's been around for, you know, it's the way it used to be. But think about how many marriages and how many children in the history of the world had nothing to do with the parents loving each other. Arranged marriages were a thing for thousands. They still are in some parts of the world, right? But for thousands of years, you didn't even have a choice who you were going to marry. I just hope you get along. Have some kids. That's your job. So I'm not saying it's good, but if somebody's choosing that as opposed to just seeking that spark, if you will, or whatever, I don't think it's automatically a problem. I think it can be, but I don't think it's automatically bad.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would rather someone do that and, like, very intentionally plan a child rather than, like, say, using a child to save a relationship or something like that. That being said, I like to be pretty careful talking about this kind of stuff because once a child is in the world, like, there's nothing that can be done about it. Like, there's a baby here.
Yeah.
One thing that really gets under my skin is when people get super judgmental about a situation with a child. It's like, well, all that matters is taking care of the child at this point, making sure the child is safe and loved. you can have your opinions on like whether you ever should have been together or whether blah, blah, blah. But the child is here. Yep. So just make sure that that baby is safe and taken care of and knows they're loved and figure out the rest from there, I guess.
Yeah, I would. I mean, it's not my monkey, not my circus, but I would much rather see two young people who are solid and committed and want this to have a child together than a couple who are married in the church and they have all the trappings, but they're miserable and they're not good to the child.
Right. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think if you've done, if the old school way is what you know and you think that new way is weird, okay, but that doesn't mean it's not good. It's all about the commitment to the kid and all about their commitment to like, hey, are we, if you're friends, would you like to live with your friend? You know, I mean, I get it. I don't think that it's an automatic, nothing's automatically good or bad, because as you pointed out at the beginning in setting this up, one of the reasons people are doing that is they've seen the people that have their marriages fall apart. It's their parents or their brother or sister or their friends, and they just don't want that, but they want the child, they want the home, they want that.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm not, again, it's not an automatic one way or the other. It's not automatically better. It's got its own challenges, but it's also not automatically a terrible thing.
Yeah.